The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, you got any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, a new report from Johns Hopkins University says that a flu-like virus could spread throughout the world in as little as 36 hours, killing tens of millions of people. They were warned that only 13 countries have the necessary resources and preparedness to fight off a potential pandemic. Most prepared countries include Britain, the U.S., Australia, Canada, France, and Holland. Scientists may have had evidence of life on Mars more than 40 years ago, according to one NASA scientist who worked on a 1976 mission to test Martian soil. Nutrients were released into the soil and then monitored to see if they would be consumed by living organisms. They were. However, this experiment was dismissed at the time as a fluke, perhaps the work of a chemical mimicking the effect of biological life. Strangely enough, in the next 43 years, not a single lander followed up on these experiments to get more accurate results. A reporter released a story last week about a graduate student who interviewed Japanese taxi drivers who had encountered ghosts in the aftermath of the deadly tsunami of 2011. Numerous individuals reported picking up passengers only for them to vanish mysteriously. In some cases, logs of unpaid fares made contemporaneously backed up these accounts. One notably spooky encounter went like this. A cab driver passing in the town of Ishinomaki was hailed by a woman in an area where almost all of the buildings had been completely flattened by the tsunami. Indeed, he was surprised to see her in such a deserted part of town. She asked to go to the Minami-Hama district. The cab driver asked if she was sure, since the district had been mostly destroyed. The backseat was silent for a moment, then in a trembling voice the young woman said, "Have I died?" Frightened, the cab driver turned around to find the backseat empty. The woman had vanished. Urban legend? Maybe. But one of many. Back to you, Chauncey.
That is absolutely terrifying.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I read that, and it's like, this story is a gift to me, to paranormal radio hosts everywhere.
Yeah, I think the Japanese and Victorian England are, like, vying for the best ghost stories. You know, I'm not sure who's going to come out on top there. I think we might have ourselves a social media poll.
Japanese or Victorian England. Well, Japan has a pretty big advantage in that hit. Still exists.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But so do a lot of the buildings and stuff that are supposedly haunted.
Yeah.
You know, from
and even like even not Victorian England. If you go to sort of 19th century, like Southern Gothic, for example, you know, it's not just in England. There's kind of that style of old and spooky from all over. Gothic.
I bet
Gothic
you,
is universal.
It's solely based off of architecture, I'm going to have to say that there's probably a lot of good untapped ghost stories in 18th and early 19th century Mexico, where everything was sort of like built out of one color of stone and all decorations were made out of black iron. You know what the time frame I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I can picture that.
That there's some definite good ghost story possibilities
in there.
Yeah.
So for, you know, any ghost listening to the show, try manifesting more. I mean, geez.
Totally.
We can't hear you. Speak up.
Right. We're being outdone by the Brits and the Japanese, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Just, you got to get to haunting. Get in there. Make it happen.
I don't care how much, you know, of your spiritual energy it takes for you to appear or whatever. Throw some dishes around. Bite some people. Do whatever.
And then life on Mars, you know, this is the second time that we have from earlier times, mm-hmm. basically been saying that we might have already found proof of life on Mars. The other one would be the asteroid. I mean, not the asteroid, the meteorite.
Right.
That had fossils that looked like bacteria fossils, but they were too small to be any Earth bacteria, but they looked just like them, only smaller, and they had proven that that meteorite had come from an impact on Mars.
Yeah, I think the root problem is that we kind of have a real sketchy definition of life that's sort of Earth-centric, and it's very... we're just not very good at drawing a line where we talk about, you know, these organic molecules are life and these aren't.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I think if it eats and makes babies, it's life.
Well, some people say viruses aren't alive. They do that.
Oh, I think they're life. Yeah.
Well,
no,
I think so too, but for a long time. And I think even to this day, there was sort of a paranoid dime in the medical community that no, viruses aren't alive.
Well, I live in this sort of like, I believe in this fringe belief called evolution, in which point viruses are alive.
Get out of here, you heathen.
I know.
You're contaminating the minds of our children.
And then the flu pandemic is a little bit foreboding for us because...
somewhat concerning, I guess.
Well, one thing that I'm working on to spin off of our show is I want to start doing the doomsday forecast.
Yes.
And I want to, start talking about...
just keeping an eye on some numbers.
Keeping an eye on some numbers for how exactly the world is going to end. And a pandemic, we're only 13 countries, 13 very... melanin deficient countries are the only survivors.
Nice way to put it.
Yes, are the only survivors. I could see somebody trying to make that happen in the present day and age.
I feel like a world where the white people are the ones who survive is a world with zero justice.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
But at the same time, with both of us being white people, I would like to see a world where we're part of the people who survive,
I guess.
I hope to die in my sleep. I don't really care how it happens.
You can die in your sleep. You just,
I don't care how it happens.
Sleep a lot, up the odds.
I just want to die in my sleep.
Okay.
How do you want to die?
In an interesting way.
In a blaze of glory?
Not necessarily blaze
of... Bon Jovi style?
Not necessarily a blaze of glory. Okay, I have two criteria. I don't want it to be something where people are like, what an idiot. But I do want it to be bizarre and inexplicable, like eaten by a huge fish or something.
Right, yeah.
You know, I want to get into a swimming pool and just be devoured by a tuna that was in there. You know,
preferably something where nobody has to deal with my body, where I don't excrete anything after I die. I want to show out like a Jedi.
I want to
like disappear.
Empty stomach, definitely, for when you die.
I want to become a force ghost. All right, so we're coming up on some Halloween stuff. First off here, I had some interesting... I was just looking up famous people whose birthdays are on Halloween.
Yeah.
And we're looking at some cool people. John Candy, a very fitting last name.
Okay.
Peter Jackson, also probably fairly fitting, seeing how of his horror roots. Christopher Columbus, speaking of whites traveling the world.
Oh, God.
Not the movie director, Chris Columbus, but the actor, Christopher Columbus.
Sure.
In terrifying combo, Rob Schneider and Vanilla Ice, both Halloween birthdays.
That's concerning.
Well, the funny thing is, on Saturday or Friday or something, at Wind River, Vanilla Ice is performing for Halloween, so it's like his birthday bash or something.
Yeah, you'd think he'd take his birthday off.
In better rap news, Ad-Rock from the Beastie Boys, Halloween birthday.
Okay.
Jimmy Savile in terrifying news again. Do you know who that is?
No.
He was a famous disc jockey from England that was beloved by the entire country until after he died, and then they found out that he was a massive Me Too offender.
He was a rapist.
Yes. And not all
massive
were...
Massive Me Too offender.
And not all were in the proper age bracket. Michael Landon, I have a theory about how Michael Landon is... it doesn't really matter. We're coming back, and we're going to talk about Strangers with Candy. Are people really trying to kill our kids with candy on a Halloween? You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
I am.
I saw walking down the street Put your daddy knocked it off the feet. And then I knew it was the end of her.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
We're Billy and Patrick for Reading Kia. We both own Kias, and we love them.
It's Customer Appreciation Month with some of the best deals of the year on the cars and SUVs Reading loves to drive.
Gas prices are ridiculous right now. Drive a 2019 Kia Niro CUV, get an estimated 50 miles per gallon, and receive $1,500 in Kia customer cash. That's a customer appreciation deal.
Or how about a super affordable 2020 Kia Sportage with all-wheel drive? Winter's coming, and if you want to go anywhere, on-road or off, this is your SUV. Get your best price and $2,000 Kia customer cash at Reading Kia.
And every Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, the best in the business. Warranty's a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia. Kia.com or retailer for details.
Sale ends 10/31/2019. Billy is the marketing manager for Reading Kia.
For the vehicles Northern California loves to drive, nobody does it better than Reading Kia. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, 418 East Cypress, ReadingKia.com.
Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret's gonna rescue you.
Pirate Secret essential oils can be purchased in Reading at Orchard Nutrition, Enjoy the Store, Country Organics, in Chico at SS Produce, Arcata in Wildberries, and online at piratesecret.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and it is our Halloween show. This is as close as we're going to get.
Indeed.
On the forward side. You know, we were trying to think about this, especially with Halloween on a Thursday, you know. Where do the adults who like to get hammered and dress up like sexy cats, where do they go out? Do they go out on the following Friday, or do they go out on the previous Saturday? How do they celebrate a Halloween on a Thursday? I figure if Easter can be on a Sunday, if Thanksgiving can be on a Thursday, surely we can move Halloween to a weekend.
I don't know. I mean, the 31st, that's kind of a sacred date. I'd hate to mess with that.
Yeah, I don't believe in any of that, though.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean it.
I really want
I mean
to.
It's sacred because Halloween is on it.
Right, but can't that's, we come up with, like, a Halloween party day?
Maybe.
And I also believe that if we're not going to do that, the day after Halloween needs to be a national holiday.
Yes, agree.
Maybe we can agree there.
I think that definitely needs to happen. You know, I don't know. When I was in school, we used to, until, like, I was in sixth grade or something, we used to get the day after off. And then
right.
I don't know what happened. Everyone collectively decided that they wanted to curb our beast-like impulses.
Yeah, religion got weird with Halloween there for a while. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
They were like burning MC Hammer tapes and stuff. I don't know. Religion
but that,
got weird.
That was in like the 80s and 90s. I was in...
No, they were burning Harry Potter.
I guess.
You know? All right, so here what we're talking about is we are
talking
about...
Speaking of moral panics.
Moral panics, yeah. Strangers with candy. Are people mm-hmm. really trying to kill our kids with candy on Halloween?
Ooh, I've got this one.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right.
No.
You think no?
Yeah.
Okay. The most famous case is probably the poisoning of Timothy O'Brien.
Sure.
The vast majority of Halloween scare stories about razor blades and apples or poison candy are urban legends.
Mm-hmm.
This one's true, however. 8-year-old Timothy O'Brien had a packet of pixie sticks given to him by his father, Ronald, to cap right. off his trick-or-treating. After eating it, he almost immediately went into convulsions and died an hour later.
Really?
The death sent the town of Deer Park, Texas, into a panic. The police determined that the pixie sticks that Timothy ate were laced with cyanide. When Ronald's story kept changing, police began investigating him. They found him to be deeply in debt and that he'd taken out massive life insurance policies on his children.
Clever.
Police found that the other O'Brien children had also been given candy by their dad, but hadn't eaten it. Ronald O'Brien was found guilty of murder, sentenced to death, and executed in 1984. This is one of the real ones. Another time.
Okay.
Another nail in the box of Halloween candy is Helen Fell intended to we don't know if she intended to do a national panic or not.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1964, the bored housewife, Helen Fell, tired of kids she thought were too old to be trick-or-treating,
right.
handed out labeled with a skull and crossbones, buttons of arsenic ant poison, as well as dog biscuits and steel wool pads to the neighborhood kids.
Right.
She told the kids that it was a crappy joke, but she ended up pleading guilty to child endangerment.
Right, and there's also, I think before that, there was a guy who was handing out Halloween candy laced with laxatives, which I think is the closest you get to the essential myth of this, which is, yeah, there have been, you know, people who have poisoned kids they knew. Who hasn't wanted to poison a kid at some point? But, like, the essential quality of this myth is that strangers are handing out,
right.
you know, dangerous candy that could kill children to just whoever. And that's not really a thing.
Well, we've just heard two that are. Now, these ones aren't. In 1968, 26 cases of razor blades and apples came up. 75% of the cases were proven to be false or perpetrated by the children.
Sure.
However, every instance wasn't a hoax.
Okay.
And these are not hoaxes. After trick-or-treating in Rylandsburg, Ohio in 2015, a boy stopped just shy of tearing into a Snickers that didn't feel right and turned out to have a disposable razor shoved into the nougat. In 2015, a girl in Toronto bit into a chocolate bar to find a razor. She was the third kid to find a stabbing weapon in her Halloween loot that year. Kids in the Upper Breaches area of the city found a needle and a thumbtack as well. In 2013, a 12-year-old Pennsylvania boy opened a miniature bag of M&Ms to discover a 1-inch disposable razor. The package didn't seem tampered with, so they're figuring it actually happened in the factory. The boy was unable to pinpoint which house the candy came from, quoted as saying, "I don't know which house I got them from because every other house I think I got a pack of M&Ms." So, you know. And two children in Manistee found razor blades in Laffy Taffy and a Reese's peanut butter cup they got while trick-or-treating. The blades were described as small and sharp, the type usually found in portable pencil sharpeners. The two children aren't related, but live in the same neighborhood.
Okay, well, I guess I stand corrected.
Well, you don't, really. I mean, statistically, it's just like anything else. You know, we are looking at an insanely small demographic a right. small portion of the amount of candy that's actually given out to these kids. Mm-hmm. This is actually pretty small, you know.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of crazies out there, don't you?
And to the best of my knowledge, no one has ever died or been seriously injured by candy from
What about
a stranger.
That one kid that choked well, to that death on a dog biscuit and steel wool?
Well,
all right, that didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. And the other one, the pixie sticks one, that's not a stranger. That's a
right.
That's a guy killed by his dad. And like, we all know we can't trust our dads.
Yeah, well, this is a saying that I use on a regular basis, and that is that the problem with being paranoid is every once in a while you're right.
Sure.
You know, because when it comes to anything, every once in a while you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I saying that you should send your kids out and not check their candy? No, I'm not saying that. Should you, be safe with your lives and so on and so forth? Yeah. But, you know, you probably shouldn't live in a world of fear, you know, for the sake of the situation. The real danger is probably the average trick-or-treating kid can consume around 3 cups of sugar or about 7,000 calories in candy that evening. For context, that's 675 grams of sugar, or the same as chomping down on almost 169 standard sugar cubes.
Yeah.
And American kids eat about 3/4 of a cup of sugar a day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you really want to get concerned about your kids' treats, that's probably where you should.
I feel fine about that information.
Well, yeah, you do. You're naturally thin.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not going to die from obesity.
Well,
unless you really go for it.
No,
I mean, if you really just commit yourself.
Is that a challenge, yeah. Chauncey?
I bet
can make this happen.
Right. If you put your mind to it, I'm sure that.
No, I can't. I get full real easily.
I can't
stand that.
Yeah. So, you know, here in our town, I've never heard of anything like that happening. No. But I have to say it makes for some great horror films.
It does. Wait, has there been a horror film about, you know, kids dying because of poison candy or whatever?
No, it tends to be little side stories. Like in Night of the Demons, it was a side story where the wife, the old man put a bunch of razor blades and apples to hand out to kids.
Nice.
But none of the kids wanted the apples. So the next day the wife made him an apple pie and he's sitting there eating it and he finds out that those were the apples that the kids didn't want and he ate them and then they start cutting through them and, you know, that's the just desserts ending of...
Just desserts, I see what you
right.
did there.
Yeah, you know.
Not bad.
I'm sharp. So, so I am curious, though, how many of you out there are really concerned, you know, about this.
To be honest, since I was a kid, I've been hearing, you know, this is a myth. I don't think I've ever seriously had someone say to me that this was a worry.
Well, I don't know. Fear-mongering is at an all-time high.
True.
Because it gets good ratings. So, you know, I really, I don't know. You know, I bet you there's a lot of people out there that are very concerned about it.
Thank goodness you have us to give you the straight scoop.
Right.
And make you complacent and cow-like.
Right.
Ready for... the danger to devour you alive.
Right. So my advice to parents out there is make sure they do good in school and take the leash off and, maybe let them have a Halloween.
And all don't right. let them wear blackface, for goodness sakes.
Totally.
Yeah. What the heck?
Well, unless it's the costume. Just kidding. All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back. We have some more Halloween fun.
Dollar. KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents The Rocky Horror Show, its first production at their new theater at 2613 Bocelli Lane in Reading. This cult classic tells the musical tale of the newly engaged Brad and Janet, who get caught in a storm near the home of Dr. Frankenfurter and are in for a wild night of misadventure. The Rocky Horror Show, on stage at Axiom Repertory Theater October 17th through Halloween. Full audience participation is encouraged. Axiom's next stage is here, and it's here thanks to you. Tickets and information at axreptheater.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to ReadingCivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to ReadingCivic.com to learn more.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. And we're talking Halloween. We're talking about Halloween stuff. Right now we're talking about some of the worst crimes ever committed on Halloween.
Okay, lay it on me.
You're interested?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm ready.
The murders of Ronald Seisman and Elizabeth Platzman. In the early hours of Halloween 1981, a Manhattan couple were murdered in their Chelsea apartment. The couple were severely beaten before being shot in the head, execution style, with the apartment completely ransacked.
Okay.
New York police initially believed drug money to be the motive, but a prison informant claimed that one of his fellow inmates had predicted the crime weeks before it actually happened.
Nice.
That inmate turned out to be the son of Sam killer, David Berkowitz. Berkowitz had long been rumored to be involved with a satanic cult that helped him with some of the murders. According to the informant, Berkowitz had told him that his cult was planning to enter a residence near Greenwich Village, Chelsea would qualify for that, on Halloween to carry out a ritual murder. When questioned, Berkowitz claimed that the Zeisman footage had one of the Son of Sam shootings and was planning to hand it over to the authorities in exchange for dropping some drug charges. While no evidence was found to support Berkowitz's claims, he was basically right about the description of Zeisman's apartments, and the killings are still unresolved.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like a ritual murder, though. It sounds like a B&E.
Well, they execution-style killed him.
Well, yeah, but then they ransacked the place. I don't know. I guess...
Well, you got to come down on other people's religions. Maybe this is the way they ritually kill people. You know? So judgmental.
Okay.
All right.
I guess everyone has their own rituals.
That's true. All right. So a preacher strangles a woman. Halloween night 2012, John D. White entered Rebecca Gray's mobile home and murdered her. White struck her in the head with a mallet several times before tightening a large zip tie around her neck. He had planned on having sex with the corpse after watching several necrophilia videos online, but he was unable to do so because of he was so drunk.
Were they like how-to videos? Or
I didn't look it up.
Were they like necrophilia advocacy videos? And this guy was like, that does sound like a good lifestyle.
I don't know. You're too interested in the specifics.
Okay. Keep going.
Here's where it gets really weird. Gay's three-year-old son was home at the time of the murder, and White stayed with the boy afterwards. He dressed the kid in his Halloween costume and delivered him to his father. White then confessed to the police about the murder. He was sentenced to 56 years and 3 months in prison, and he committed suicide in prison just months after being convicted.
Okay.
So he dressed the little boy up and sent him off for Halloween. That is absolutely... absolutely disturbing.
Well, he was in the spirit of the holiday, I guess.
Yeah, well, I don't know. All right, so the toolbox killers. Lawrence Bittaker and Roy Norris were the torture team known as the toolbox killers.
Okay.
They received the name because they used basic household tools to inflict unimaginable torments on their victims, young teenage girls in the Los Angeles area. The men would give rides to hitchhiking girls and then take them to remote locations where they would, sexually torture, torment, and murder them. Then Bittaker and Norris would dump their bodies in the mountains. The men kept photographs and audio tapes of the girls while they were doing their business. The men's fifth and final victim died on Halloween night, 1979. 16-year-old Shirley Ledford was hitchhiking home from a party when they picked her up. She was beaten with a sledgehammer, raped and tortured with a pair of pliers, and then dumped on a neighbor's lawn, where a jogger found her the next morning. Norris bragged about the murder to an ex-convict friend who gave the information to authorities. The men were arrested, and the photographic and audio evidence was recovered. Norris confessed to the abductions, but he blamed Bittaker for the murders. Norris cut a plea deal. He testified against his partner in crime in exchange for life in prison. As of today, however, Lawrence Bittaker remains incarcerated on death row at San Quentin.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why can't anyone murder frat boys? You know, why has it got to be teenage girls?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's because it's all...
Yeah, I know why.
...sexually charged.
But, like...
You know, it's like...
Come on. It's just upsetting.
Do you want people to kill frat boys?
Kinda, yeah. Balance the scales.
What if they're just the one with the heart of gold that was going to die from being hazed anyway? Why would you wish such a horrible death upon them?
Well, I mean, statistically, it evens out, though. I just want more gender parity in serial killer victims.
I see. You just
that's all I want.
You feel that this is unfair.
I feel that it's unfair, and I just...
And the only way to make it fair is to have it happen to the other side as well.
Probably there are other ways, but I don't know. I think I would feel a little better about the world if, you know, some frat boys went missing. That's all I'm saying.
All right. You're... Okay. I'll get to work on it.
So you're not going to touch that? Okay, let me hear the next one.
The Lisk family murders. Columbus, Ohio, on Halloween 2010, 16-year-old Devin Griffin returned home from Sunday church services to find his brother Derek, mother Susan, and Susan's new husband, William, murdered. At first, he thought it was a Halloween joke.
What?
Devin was so traumatized, he could only say that the scene was like something out of a haunted house. The killer was found to be William's son from his previous marriage, who had a history of schizophrenia and violence. Lisk was later picked up at a halfway house and pleaded guilty to all three murders and committed suicide in prison in 2015.
It's unusual. Schizophrenics aren't normally violent.
No.
I guess in this case.
And the few that I've known to be violent, it was much more self-inflicted.
Sure. Well, I guess murder is kind of unusual, just in any case.
Yeah, well...
What I want to know is how do killings on Halloween compare? Is there a Halloween spike, you know, compared to the other 364 days of the year? Or is it just a normal day? Is there less killing on Halloween?
You know, I don't know, but I would guess that there's more.
Mm-hmm. I would guess
that there's more solely based around alcohol consumption and not based around sort of supernatural anything. Although the supernatural aspect is definitely what makes me interested in some of these, because when people snap, it always makes me think of that movie Fallen. Have you ever seen the movie Fallen? You haven't?
Yeah, no.
Because you haven't seen anything. Jared has, I bet.
Jared's shaking his head.
Is he shaking his head now?
I have not even heard of that movie.
Okay. Fallen is Denzel Washington.
You're alone, Johnson.
Well, it's following this evil spirit that basically gets in a person's body and controls them. And so a perfectly good person all of a sudden does something terrible. And then he touches somebody and the spirit leaves to another body. And that person's left there with the aftermath and ends up going to prison. And it's all about Denzel Washington trying to figure out who Azazel, spirit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. It's very good. And it's oddly good for being a Denzel Washington movie from the 90s. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, a lot of people are going to be all, but what? Denzel is a national treasure. He is a national treasure when it comes to stuff like Glory. He is. But his action movies from the 90s are terrible. All action movies from the 90s are terrible.
Here on Radio Wasteland, we don't shy away from controversy.
Yeah.
We are willing to tell it like it is when it comes to
Denzel Washington. Can you believe what he said about Denzel? Yeah.
1990s action movies.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to talk about some horror films that were based on real-life events.
Okay.
So come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Among the tombstones, and at night when the moon is bright.
what it's like to be an archaeologist, biologist, or astromathematician in Turtle Bay's Mystery of the Mayan Medallion on display September 28th through January 12th. Delve into science, language, history, and mathematics in this hands-on immersive treasure hunt of an exhibition. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you have your dad's dimples, your mom's curly hair? What makes us, us? Explore genomic science in Turtle Bay's newest expedition, Genome, Unlocking Life's Code, on display September 21st through January 2nd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Reading. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Reading.
Black Bear feels like home.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. It is our Halloween episode, or as close as we get to come to it.
Indeed.
So here we're talking about movies that are based on real-life events. There's a lot of them real-life horrific events, horror movies. And there's a lot of them that people know, The Conjuring.
Right, The Conjuring is what springs to mind for
me. Amityville was probably one of the biggest ones.
Which is kind of in The Conjuring series.
Yeah, yeah, they're kind of, they're related.
We talked about that Spanish movie last year.
Oh,
I forget the name of it now. Where the girl becomes possessed by a demon. Veronica, yeah.
Veronica was very loosely based.
Yeah.
And so this first one up is loosely based, The Blob.
Okay.
Both the 1958 and 1988 Blob movies are based on a real incident that happened in Philadelphia in 1950. On September 26, two officers on patrol saw what appeared to be a parachute float down from the sky. They drove to the landing site and found a something. Various accounts give it different qualities. It seems to be about 6 feet in diameter, purple, filled with strange crystals, and giving off a mist. Naturally, one of the police officers thought it was a good idea to put his hand in it, and it left an odorless, sticky residue on his hand, but it didn't eat him.
Okay.
Or his fellow officers.
Okay. It just assimilated his DNA and replaced him.
Right. It just eventually dissolved. leaving the grass underneath unbent, untouched. And during the 25 minutes it spent on Earth, two more police officers were called, as well as the FBI, although the agents didn't arrive in time to witness anything.
I had no idea this was a thing.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Did they ever figure out?
No, it was reported locally, then picked up in the national press as a sort of joke. No one knew what to make of it or treat it seriously. The FBI asked the Air Force to look into it. The Air Force declined. And I guess we'll never know.
Okay. Or they declined publicly and...
And now they do know. And now there's a blob is like our top ace pilot.
Yeah. All, you know.
So now it's like Goose, the Iceman, and Blob.
That's like the kind of team you'd see in sort of like a cartoon set in outer space.
Yeah.
Just totally. Full of like Space Rangers or whatever.
Totally.
Like that's the team you'd get.
Star Fox style. Yeah.
Yeah. You get the guy who's the leader, obviously, and then you get like a girl who's the love interest, and then you've got like a freaky monster and a robot.
Right. Yeah.
No, wait, not a robot, because you need a black guy in there.
Right. There has to be some sort of minority represented.
Exactly. So. You know,
we're going all Captain Planet on this.
Exactly. You know, so you've got the white guy who has the personality, and then you've got a black guy who's there to be black, and then you've got a woman for the love interest.
Some guy who shows up every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got the horrible monster.
Right.
And those are your, like, starfighter pilots.
Right. Yeah. I agree. And it is weird. It is weird how actually that is, like, so many shows, you know.
That's every show. That's every show made before, you know, 2014.
All right. So our next one that I'm guessing you haven't seen because you haven't seen
I haven't seen era, anything.
Is The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of The Serpent and the Rainbow?
Chauncey, no.
Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Okay. An anthropologist goes to Haiti after hearing rumors about a drug used by black magic practitioners to turn people into zombies.
Okay.
It's the premise of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Serpent and the Rainbow is based on the 1985 book, The Serpent and the Rainbow, a Harvard scientist's astonishing journey into the secret societies of Haitian voodoo, zombies, and magic, mm-hmm. by anthropologist and researcher Wade Davis. He investigated Haitian voodoo and the practice of making zombies. He studied ethnobotanical poisons, discovering their use in a reported case of a contemporary zombie, Clervius Narcisse. That's the guy's name, Clervius Narcisse. Davis's claims were criticized for a number of scientific inaccuracies, but Davis argued that a number of factors may account for the negative results of some investigators and decried their unsubstantiated accusations of fraud, noting the variability of formations, possible errors in the testing performed on the samples he brought back, etc.
Okay, so what are we talking about here? What samples? I think I've kind of dropped some details in the story.
Okay, well, in the book, Davis doesn't suggest that the zombie powder containing tetrodotoxin was used for maintaining mental slaves, but for the production of the initial death. So basically, this is the premise of the movie, and the idea in the book is that people are given a powder blown into their face, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they basically, for all looks, all intents and purposes, die.
Okay.
They are buried and then later dug up and then given other hallucinogenic drugs. And basically everybody who knows them saw them die mm-hmm. and buried them. They died and were buried and dug up. And now they believe they were a zombie and all of society believes that they were a zombie. And now they're given a bunch of drugs and hallucinogens in order to be the slave of the person who did this.
So the purpose of this is basically to like fool this person into believing in this, you know, cultural idea that they've been raised from the dead as a servant of a magician.
Absolutely.
And, okay, I get it.
And that's what happened to this one guy. It really happened to him.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that this is a thing that actually happened, and I'm always sort of fascinated because I'm like, and that works?
Right.
But I guess it's like,
but
you
when
know,
you put
a
it in that
culture.
Context,
yeah.
that...
It probably wouldn't work on someone, you know.
And now, I don't know about the book, West. And I assume that the author of the book didn't actually take the drug that kills you. But in the movie, they take the drug, mm-hmm. and they're aware.
Right.
So they're aware of their funeral. They're aware of being buried. They're
so
aware.
Like, it, like, paralyzes them.
Right. And then so eventually they get dug up and drugged up, and all their family is scared of them because they're a zombie. They think they're a zombie. Mm-hmm. And then they're given mad hallucinogens that make them susceptible to influence.
To suggestion, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is
crazy. Can you imagine how much trial and error goes into that? You know, I think about that in general. It's like berries. You know, today we know what berries to eat. Do you know how many people died to figure out what berries you can eat?
I assume quite a few. But, you know, they kind of did that, like, way back before agriculture. You know, we had a long time as a species to figure out berries. But, you know,
yeah.
Tetrodotoxin, that's kind of a newer thing. I wonder about the person who thought of this first, right?
Right.
I wonder if they, like, believed that they actually were raising someone from the dead, which I can kind of see.
Well, I mean...
You know, you blow this powder in their face, they look dead, and then, you know, you know that this powder, if you use it, they'll come back later and they'll
right.
be under your control.
Yeah. So how much, you know, how much of it was a... How much aware was the person that they were manipulating as opposed mm-hmm. to actually doing this? I don't know. I bet you at first they didn't know. I bet you you're right. At first.
I do wonder how far back in history this practice goes. I'm given to understand it's old, right? Is it ancient?
Well, it's at least 1984.
Okay.
I can tell you that. I don't know how far back Haiti was colonized by practitioners of voodoo.
Right.
You know, I mean, they aren't the original occupants of, you know, Haiti.
Well, that's true. So
that's a black population now, but
that takes it back to, like,
the 18th
population. Century.
Yeah.
So.
But a lot of that came as a combination from around the world mm-hmm. that, not unlike... Santeria, or a lot of these are really sort of combinations. It's like they reached in a bag and grabbed every messed up aspect of the religion that landed on their island and put it together in a chicken body, and like, that's our new religion. Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, true. To be fair, that's how most religions started. It's just a lot of them started far enough back that, you know, we don't really know how the sausage is made as well.
Right.
You kind of have to.
Thanks for that
records analogy.
I don't like the sausage analogy at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland. I've been Chauncey. She's been Kara. And you have a happy Halloween.
And they both look as well. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.